This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to the Why Blank Lost Survivor 44 preview. I'm David Bloomberg, and of course I'm joined for our third and final part by my co-host, the very recent birthday girl, Jessica Lewis.
Oh, well, hello everyone. And yes, welcome to the third installment of the introduction to the Survivor 44 cast. This is very exciting. We get to wrap it all up and we get to destroy someone's Survivor existence by choosing our winner picks today. Sorry.
Is that what happened? So yes, happy birthday, Jessica.
Thank you so much.
And is that what happens? Like when you have a cake for your birthday and you blow out the candles, does the opposite of your wish come true?
You know, I feel like I should pay better attention to that, shouldn't I? Because maybe I should just start trying to choose something that I want the opposite to happen. I'll let you know because I haven't, we haven't done that yet. We might be doing that this evening. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wish to not get $1 million.
Oh, I'm not settling for $1 million. Oh, okay. Did you see like how high the like Mega Millions and Powerball is getting? So maybe I'll set my sights a little higher.
All right.
Yeah. If I suddenly disappear, it's because my non-wish did actually do the opposite, which means I won either Mega Millions or Powerball.
Okay. So, so next week it'll just be me, you know,
that would be insane. If that actually happens, listen, I'll take care of you, Bloomberg. Don't worry.
All right. Yes. All right. So for anyone who hasn't heard, parts one and two yet, we do recommend you go back and do that. They're labeled as, the Ratu tribe and the Soka tribe, in online. This podcast will cover the Tika tribe. And as Jessica has already said, our overall winner predictions / curses.
so bad.
Of course, once Survivor starts in only a few days, we will be right here every week to discuss what each voted out player did right and wrong in terms of rules I originally wrote way back after the very first Survivor season and have been updating ever since. It's funny because I was in a Twitter exchange with Stephen Fishback. And I had cause to reference the interview I had done with him after Token Teens.
Oh,
in
my
gosh. 2009.
That is old school right there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
So
what a great season. And what a just heart-wrenching
season. It's on Netflix
season.
Now, I think, isn't it?
I did hear that there's been quite a few that have been popping up on Netflix, which is great. Mm-hmm.
So the rules come in a form that was not available in Steven's day. And that was poster form.
Mm-hmm, that's right. You see that over here?
That's right. And you can get one of these yourself, if you'd like, by going to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. Scroll down to the poster, as I've done on the screen here, and click on it.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you can get the poster in t-shirt form by continuing to scroll down. Or you can get the shirt that I'm wearing, the checklist t-shirt. Also by scrolling down further.
Yes, excellent. All great choices. You should definitely get on that. Purchase some stuff. And, you know, there's other things available, not just in regards to our podcast as well, but there are lovely potential other items. I happen to have a mug today that is
Our hat. Mm-hmm. I'll be getting to it. That's my second mug of the day. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, you have, you're switching it up today? Okay.
Well, no, I always have to. You know,
So, I'll have to pay more attention.
Yes. So now, in addition to those things on the YX Lost feed page, you can find closer to the top. Well, actually, no. Right there it is. Right above the poster. Our rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have newly updated them for Survivor 44, which we discussed those changes in part two.
Mm-hmm.
And I know... On the YX Lost feed page right now, it says Survivor 43 rules. That's a different page. On the actual page itself, it's Survivor 44. So you can just click on that, and it'll take you to the new updated version of the rules so that you can print them out and smuggle them into pregame Ponderosa if you're going to be on 45 or 46.
Listen. You better hide them really well. They go through everything. I'm just telling you that right now.
Well, some people managed to do it this season.
I know, and they were very creative. So I appreciate the creativity there because it's like a million pages.
Yeah. It's not a million pages. It's shorter on the website. I don't know, the font or something. You know. So, but all right. So with that, let's get to our thoughts and predictions for the Tika tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do, as we've said in part one, everyone, especially the players, should remember that we're basing almost everything off of a relatively small amount of information. And while we have a 99% track record of being right, there's that small chance that, you know, you could be the 1%.
Listen, I we're so bad at this, but
no, we're good at this. We're awesome at this.
You really believe that?
Yes, yes.
Keep telling yourself.
Do you
that.
Not see the sign?
Maybe you're right. But I also have this sign here too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're where'd you go? Oh. Where'd you go? I don't know where Jessica went.
Oh, that's so sad. I still have it.
Oh, darn it. She still has the sign.
That one time, I guess you were wrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember that. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's get to the Tika tribe so we can spend some time poking through the things that we've learned about these individuals here.
So we'll start with the oldest player in the whole season.
Disgusting.
Positively ancient. Bruce is 45. I mean, he's...
Come on.
You know, I mean, he is just so old. We're lucky he's not walking with a cane. And obviously this is extreme sarcasm.
Because this is such a young cast.
Yes.
It is very, very young.
Yes.
So, and Bruce, I love your age. I love your age because I'm so close.
You're so close. I didn't know 29 was close to 45.
You know, I appreciate that. Thank you. Because everyone at work was asking me if I was turning 30. And I'm like, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Be with my 19-year-old daughter. Yes.
Right.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes. Jessica the Child Bride. Yeah.
Anywho, back to Bruce.
Yes.
Yes. So Bruce is an ancient age of 45 years old.
Yes. Now, I was hoping that we'd start with someone who'd been watching since the very beginning.
Mm.
But, you know, Bruce really disappointed me because he said he'd been watching since week three of season one. I mean,
which
really,
is so random, right?
Really? I mean, he's basically a newbie. You know, he couldn't start from week one. No, he had to start week three.
I think it's interesting that he specified, though, that it was like, it wasn't just that he started watching with season one. It was week three of season one.
I mean, the thing is, Survivor in that first season was a phenomena that built.
Yeah.
And
oh, yes.
I remember people talking about it and getting on. And, you know, obviously there was no streaming then. You couldn't go back unless someone had
recorded it. Exactly. So unless someone recorded it. Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's sometimes, you know, people were talking about this guy sitting in a tree, you know, which we'll get to someone else later.
We will
later
get to someone else.
That.
Yes. But, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a phenomenon there. And I'm sure that's how Bruce got roped in.
Well, and I am glad that he did reference season one because it's still one of the most incredible seasons of Survivor ever, in my humble opinion.
I always rank it number one.
Yeah. The fact that we've had multiple people in the Tika tribe reference it makes me very happy.
Yes. Now, Bruce grew up with foster parents who adopted him, and he had other foster kids going in and out of the house, meaning he had to adapt to lots of different personalities, which could certainly be useful on Survivor. But he said some people will initially probably perceive him as an arrogant dude who they can't talk to because of his confidence level and who he is.
Yeah.
Now, he said, some people might look at me and say, he's a little arrogant. He's someone I can't talk to. And he estimated that a quarter of people will think that. Now, I know Rob and Mike mentioned it should be zero people who think that.
Yeah.
But, you know, beyond that, I was also thinking, so a quarter of people, you're dealing with five other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough estimate. So one or two, you know, rounding on this tribe. That's not great.
No, it's not great.
You know, that you may already be off-putting to one or two people on a six-player tribe.
Yes.
And if he's been giving off this vibe through the pregame, which that's literally all you can go on, is what you see of people, then, you know, I mean, he even said that. People judge during this time, building ideas of what each person is like. And, of course, there will be conversations once the game actually starts. He's going to need to make sure he's around long enough to overcome any negative preconceptions people already have of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely concerned with that aspect of him because he owns it, which is fine, but you have to own it and keep it in check at the same time. And if you're not doing that pregame, you will have a very hard time overcoming any perceptions that people have because this game, as everyone has mentioned, is moving much more quickly. People are having to make decisions much more quickly, and they're going to be looking for any reason to vote somebody out. And if they just get a vibe from you that you're arrogant and you're going to be maybe a little controlling or trying to take charge, they might not really want to keep that around for too long.
Yeah. I mean, he is right in saying his job is to figure out who the others are, what makes them tick, et cetera. And I really like that he sees that as the exciting part and recognizes that challenges, food rewards are whatever. Who cares?
Right.
And, you know, and he further got me on his side by saying, I will lie to people if need be. I will bend the truth if need be. And I will tell the truth. But I don't think that there is anything I really wouldn't do. And he said that because he knows Survivor is a game.
But he has to get there. That's you know, that's the thing. It's like, and I appreciate that as well, too, that he said that. But I think we've already kind of touched upon it with Josh as well, where I had some concerns with Josh. It's one thing to be very sure of yourself and to come into a room with a presence. But in Survivor, sometimes you have to take a step back because if you come in with too much of a presence, then it could be off-putting and you might end up finding yourself in a difficult spot connecting with people. And so if he's recognizing that in himself and already talking about it, and also in the same breath talking about how people pregame are judging you, it to me seems like a disconnect that he realizes that's what people are doing, realizes how people will perceive him, but he's not doing anything to stop that perception from happening.
Yeah. And that's the question, is can he overcome that early on?
Right.
And it could be as simple an answer as it depends on if they, you know, have to go to the first tribal council or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Bruce discussed wanting an ally who would bring back information to him, but the flow of information would be one way only.
Yeah.
Which, of course, everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that they also would have a defined end goal that they can agree on. It's a good thought. Not so sure it's easy to find anyone like that, but
right.
An even better thought is he will not be eager to look for advantages.
Mm-hmm.
And I further like his reasoning in terms of people who know they're in trouble and just try to find an idol to save themselves.
Yeah.
He said they should instead talk to people, have a conversation, figure out what's going on, put your thumb on it, and then maybe adjust it as necessary whenever you can. You have to outwit, outplay, and outlast, but outwit comes in at that point in time. So being able to tell these people certain things that maybe might change their mindset or have them question what's going on in their head or their own alliances. Now, I agree with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
To a point. Because sometimes you are just done for and you know it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say, rather, to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Their minds are made up. You right. are toast.
Yeah.
So in that situation, yeah, you do have to go idol hunting because the time for talk is over.
Yes. But I also feel like because of the way that he presents himself, that he probably thinks he can talk his way out of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's someone who has come from a really incredibly difficult upbringing and has established himself in the way that he has, which is an incredible ability. And just, it must teach you so much about yourself, but it also probably gives you a lot of confidence too, right? And so I feel like he's probably walking in, which is why he says people will perceive him as arrogant likely,
mm-hmm.
is that he presents himself with a lot of confidence and then might have some difficulty with understanding that that might not work here on Survivor. It might work in your real life and it might work in your job. But here in Survivor, that might not work just because you present people with an idea and very confident, that can actually work against you where they're like, right. Oh, look at this guy wanting to take control and take over could put him in a difficult spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in a non-game way, Bruce was a man coming from my own heart when he said his proudest accomplishment was raising two awesome kids with my amazing wife.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds almost exactly like what I said when I was Matt Scott's guest on Pod Friends last Father's Day weekend.
Nice.
It won't help in the game, but it's still nice. You know.
I do appreciate when they come in with a desire to represent their family and mm-hmm. love their family and that that's part of their proud component of themselves right. is the family that they've created. So and also again, his backstory, I think that that's mm-hmm. going to certainly potentially help him in the game because he's been through so much and he's truly struggled. But again, you know, we have to see how it all comes together because right. the package that he now exists in is this 45-year-old man who has come this far in his life and describes himself as being perceived as arrogant.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, as with you, I do have some concerns.
Yes.
As we joked about, he's the oldest in the season.
Yeah.
And now, that's not a death sentence.
No.
You know, I mean, Gabler won last time.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also a 35 and a 36-year-old on this tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of 43-year-olds also on the season on other tribes. But besides that 10-year age gap of the people on his tribe, those two also seem to have very different personalities
yeah.
compared to him. So even though yes. they're closest in age, they don't seem closest in personality.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll discuss that as we get into more people. But I will be very surprised if those other two don't get together and add mm-hmm. in a couple more. And I worry that Bruce won't be one of those couple more. And
yeah.
some of those initial judgments may just kind of put him a little bit on the outs.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I thought was kind of fascinating as well, is he describes himself as energetic, funny, and competitive. But the energetic and funny part, I did not hear when he was speaking. Like, actually listening to his interview, that wasn't what I was getting from that.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe he'll just be different when he's out there on the island. But that was not what I was hearing. What I was reading sounded much different in listening to him speak.
He's just speaking to a camera.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So, like, sometimes that doesn't actually reflect your personality. But I think... Right. I think the next person we're going to talk about definitely reflect her personality while she was speaking.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Introducing Batiste Sweat-Activated and Touch-Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste Dry Shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yeah, the next person is, of course,
Carolyn, and she is 35 or 34, maybe. I'm looking at something that says 35. We've discussed this potential year off component.
Right.
She is a lover of twists and turns and those goddamn rocks. If anyone has looked at her social media, I will just say
she just wants to rub the rocks on.
She does. She does. She's also hoping to rub blood all over herself.
Yes.
So we've got a lot of things happening here. She is quite the character, I believe, for this season. She is from Minnesota. She's a drug counselor. She describes herself as passionate, a little bit loud, and open. So there are
all
a few
of
things-
which are fully. I mean, we just discussed how Bruce did not necessarily show those three things. From what we've seen of Carolyn, we got all those.
We got all of it. Now, what I think is fascinating about her is she is Nora 2.0, and she fully acknowledges that she's Nora 2.0.
I hope not.
Well, and this is what we need to spend some time discussing, right? Because one of the components that she kind of kept going back to is that she wants to be her true, authentic self when she goes out there. She's not going to hide anything. She's not going to change anything about herself. And that she's looking for those authentic connections and interactions. And she truly believes that seeing Marianne win was an inspiration, knowing that Nora could play also an inspiration. And I don't doubt all of those things, but what I kept coming back to in reading different components of her idea of her game, which really goes back to this idea of not hiding parts of herself, is it's not about hiding parts of yourself when you play this game. It's, to me, more of an idea of reading the room, right? Like understanding like where you are in the game, where you are with these people, and knowing what parts of yourself to share or how to interact with individuals. So it's not so much I'm going to hide and be deceitful. It's more of this part of me I need to keep in check. And that's something I've said before. I mean, before I went out there, I was told keep Jessica in a box. You know, there are parts of yourself that can just be a little overwhelming. And I feel like that's going to be her struggle.
Are you sure they told you keep Jessica in a box and not stay away from rocks? Could you have misheard?
Wouldn't that have been crazy if that had been the advice that I received? So, you know, so there is this idea with Carolyn that I really appreciate is that she totally understands who she is. And I've mm-hmm. always liked that when people come into this game, that they have an understanding of who they are. And that can definitely work to their benefit because then they know how to interact with a group of people because they know certain things about themselves. She knows everything about herself because of where she's come from. She struggled with addiction, and now she's been sober for, I think she said 18 years or something, a very long
13,
time.
13 at
13
the time.
Years. So she's doing great because mm-hmm. she has a full understanding of who she is, but she's also going to be like, this is who I am. And that might not work, but it might. We saw it happen with Nora, where people were like, oh, Nora's still here. Nora's still here.
Yeah.
Nora's still here. Nora is still here. Yeah. You know, so I'm curious if that's going to end up becoming part of her story, is that someone will kind of take her under their wing and appreciate that component of her, but also see her not as a threat to win the game mm-hmm. because of the way that she presents herself, because there won't be any secrets with her. She's going to put it all out there, and everyone's going to know everything she's thinking, doing, feeling, touching, mm-hmm. looking for, rubbing on her. It will be very much in your face. So that might end up working really well to have as an alliance partner, because there's no question as mm-hmm. to what she's doing and how she's doing it.
Yeah. So Carolyn's watched since day one, she said. So she's, you know, 2 weeks up on Bruce. Everything she said is pretty much not following the rules. And yeah, the problem is, the strange thing is, I'm finding I can't really say anything bad about
it. Well, but this is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. And I know Carolyn would love to win. I'm not sure it's her primary reason for being there.
Right.
And I feel like we're just going to have to ride the wave that is mm-hmm. Carolyn. I know there are some people watching or listening right now, and they're thinking, who are you and what have you done with David? But she's won me over. I'm not saying we'll go easy on her when she likely eventually loses. And I'm certainly not going to be making her my winner pick. As she has already said, mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to be a ton of people's winner picks.
Right.
Okay. But how can you not like someone who says, my entire life I've been told that I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too loud, too much. I want to have fun like Tiffany,
mm-hmm,
be lovable like Marianne, and free-spirited and spontaneous like Nora. Now, the Nora thing is the only place that I would argue, both for game and non-game reasons. But I'll let that go for now.
Mm.
There are some other interesting sides to her. You know, I think you talked about, she said people will perceive her as goofy, spontaneous, and free-spirited. Yeah, I can't imagine them seeing her any other way. But she also said her alliances will go deeper than strategy because her bonds will be real. Mm. And she values authentic connections and interactions. Now, I appreciate that, but I don't think the others in the game will put quite as much stock in that for the long term.
No, but they are going to use that to their benefit, right? Because
possibly,
if they know
yes.
that she is being truly authentic and there is no question with her loyalty and how she mm-hmm. feels, because she is not going to be misrepresenting herself in any way.
Right.
That's a great amount of information for your alliance partner to have, because you can pretend that you are being your true authentic self back to her and know fully that that's what you're getting from her. And so I do think that as far as getting an extra vote, she's going to be gold in that regard, because if she locks herself in with one of these six, and then they can carry it through the game, or one of, I guess, the other five, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be almost a free vote for that person that she's signed up with.
Yeah. Now, a couple things on that. One, as we recently discussed in our RHAP Instagram takeover, the shorter game doesn't allow for as much time for those real bonds to form.
Right.
And
right.
that can hurt someone like Carol.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, yes, someone can. I know there was a big pause there. Someone can want her for the reasons that you said. And as a matter of fact, lots of people, when asked, what do you want in an ally? Someone who will be 100% loyal to me. And we're right. Like, yeah, good luck. Well, okay, maybe we found
Maybe we found one.
But the thing is, as we'll find out as we go through the rest of this tribe, and I think we'll talk about it later too, almost everyone on this tribe is like, I'm going to put up a front of being happy and bubbly, but I'm going to be scheming behind. So if they're all acting like that, are they going to assume that Carolyn is doing the same thing?
You know, that's a fair point. But I feel like with the way that she will probably be and just what we've seen thus far in her, in the short video clips and also the commercial itself. And I know that we've mentioned Nora and we were all kind of curious about that as well. Like, is this the way that Nora really truly is in her everyday life? And she truly was that way. And so I feel like there's only so much that you can kind of pretend when you are out there, right? And you can put forth these certain parts of yourself. Like, I don't think we're going to see Bruce being very bubbly, but I do think that we are going to see some others that are being very bubbly, which will probably feed off of Carolyn, right? That they can be like, oh, well, she's that way too. But I do think that the other players will be thinking to themselves the same things that we thought about Nora. Like, is she really like this? Like, is this really how? And I think that it's going to come across so authentic and so genuine that they're going to be left with, this really must be how she is, because you can't pretend that much, right?
Right, right.
That's just my thought.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to idol hunting, I was fully expecting her to be one of the people saying she'll be immediately running and searching. But she said no. She said she knows she'll want to be searching and grabbing and touching and rubbing, but also recognizes she'll need to pull back and not look on day one and instead just be aware of her surroundings and what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that she's going to find herself in probably a good place. And I know that we just said all of these things about perceptions that people have had of Bruce pregame, and they've probably made those same perceptions of her pregame, because when you're walking around Ponderosa, even though you're not speaking, people are seeing things about you. And I'm sure that they've been seeing things about her too. And I think that the difference between the perceptions that people might have of Bruce versus her is he's going to come across more as a gamer, little, you know, threatening, like schemer, competitive, as he describes himself, where she's just probably walking in the rain and just having a great time and just presenting herself as loving every second and moment that she's out there, that's going to have a much different impact on someone's idea of how she's going to be in the game versus someone like Bruce and how he's going to be in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I thought it was interesting that Carolyn mentioned her father is, she just said senator, but he's a state senator. She may be the first survivor contestant with that distinction. I don't remember. I believe that I found him in Wikipedia as having been elected in 1996 and reelected every time since then. But then I saw somewhere else he's a former state senator. So,
and also former clown.
Yes. Well, former circus. I don't know that he was a clown. Oh, he was in the circus.
I thought I remember.
I think
clown,
everybody assumes that's what you do in the circus. I don't know.
I'd be fascinated to know. What did he do in the circus?
You know what? His Wikipedia page needs to be updated, and it needs to be updated to add Carolyn. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and whatever you did in the circus.
Yeah. Now, I want to close our discussion of Carolyn by mentioning that she said, I know people are going to perceive me as that loud person that's out first or something, and it's not happening. Okay, I believe her. I don't think she will be first out of her tribe.
No, I don't think she will be either. I don't.
All right, so we can move on to someone else I don't think will be first out, spoiler alert, and that is Carson. A 20-year-old, so he's the youngest. We've got the oldest and the youngest on the season, both on the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
He is a NASA engineering student, originally from Georgia. And for some reason, he hasn't been watching the show since the beginning.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
Right, because the show is older than he is. But he started watching 6 years ago with, what was that season again?
I don't know. Maybe something called Millennials versus Gen X.
Oh, yeah, that one. That one.
Crazy, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, that made me smile. And we have a lot of David in Carson, I will say. So that's
and a lot of Adam.
Yes. So, I think that's great. I love this.
Yeah, and because he is now an uber super duper fan.
Yeah, he's added a layer to it.
Which he says is the highest point you can get in terms of Survivor fandom. We need a ranking system. Someone needs to set up a ranking system.
Yes, because we went to the super duper fan to the the uber duper super fan.
Yeah, Carson, get on this. So he wanted to be on Survivor so he could win the game he knows and loves and also prove that age does not define success. The latter part is where I think he's going to face the biggest uphill battle. But we'll get to that. He also said he's there to be the winner, which, of course, is something I like a lot more than people who just say they're there to challenge themselves or enjoy Fiji or something like that.
Thank you. We appreciate that, Carson. Yeah.
He added that he's been obsessed with the game ever since he started watching, and it means so much to him because it involves so many different elements of the real world and also applies game theory mechanisms. Again, great answer and one I wholeheartedly endorse.
All of his answers were very much like, wow, like this definitely is game mechanics. Mm-hmm. Lots of rules are jumping out at me that he was willing to follow and going to do very well with. And then I started thinking, God, I hope that doesn't work not to his benefit then, right? That he's coming in too structured and too planned and too ready because he sounds so ready. So maybe that's the super duper uber fan is that it's just really, he is so ready that he is, I mean, he's studied the game and he's prepared himself. So I do hope that it doesn't end up working against him because he does sound like he's just kind of prepared for anything that's going to present itself to him.
Yeah. And I mean, Will, I have something on that in a little bit, but probably not surprisingly, he most identifies with Christian Hubicki.
Yeah.
Carson said he plans to model his game after him, though trying to diminish his own threat level until the end game so he doesn't get voted out as a big threat before then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we've discussed, that is a hard tightrope to walk.
Yes.
I do think a younger man is more able to do it, much like Adam did in your season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, Carson said he loved that ending.
Yeah.
He also doesn't plan to tell the others he's a rocket scientist engineer. And by the way, it's the end of the week, but happy National Engineers Week, Carson. And I've lost my train of thought. He will further hide what he calls his deeply strategic underside.
Yes.
So they just see him as Mr. Nice Guy. So he's one of the people I mentioned already. Who's
yes. You know, yeah, I love he said, whatever people perceive me as, whether it's inexperienced because of my age or nice and young, whatever that may be, I'll assess that as I go throughout the game. I want to play into that. I want people to continue to view me in a less threatening light. So he is someone who is also very aware of how he presents himself and what he's bringing to the table, but he is willing to utilize that perception to his benefit as opposed to like fully owning it. Like, I'm this rocket scientist and this is who I am. Yeah. No, that's not what he's going to do. He's going to be like, whatever you think I am. Yep. That's what I am. And I think that that is a really good gut instinct for him to have coming into this game that he knows, as we've said multiple times, perception is reality. And if he's going to lean into that, I think that could definitely work well for him.
Yeah. But I'm worried because hiding his strategic side is going to be tough because he's obviously going to want to and need to make strategic moves.
Yes.
But he did also mention liking Omer's game and how he made moves without taking credit for them and working more behind the scenes. You know, it's going to be a difficult tightrope to walk.
It will, because he also fits that archetype, right? If someone just looks at him, they're going to say, that guy's probably really smart and very strategic just by looking at him. And I think that that's something that this game is becoming more and more, focused and kind of honed in on. I think that there's always been this idea of archetypes and who they're casting, but now it's a little more concrete, I feel, and there are more boxes that people are being put into. And he's one of those people that might be labeled immediately as that's the strategic guy we got to watch out for. That's the Adam Klein, you know, that's the young kid that's going to come in here and understand this game to the nth degree. And we really need to be nervous about him. So I do think that that's going to be, as you've said, a tricky, tricky line for him to try to stay on, because that's going to be tough just by looking at him.
Yeah. I mean, one funny thing he said was when he was asked about what was something that most people would never know from looking at him. And he said, most people would never know that I 3D print and design Survivor puzzles for fun.
Yeah, no, they might know that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Not one little bit.
Right.
And he mentioned he fits the super fan archetype.
Right.
I like his answers about what he wants in an ally. Probably the best of everybody that we saw, because he said what we've discussed previously people should say, which will also probably not happen. He wants someone who, no matter what, would never vote me out. Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
Even the most loyal ally of all, who we just did Instagram Live with, Ken, on your season, realized at the end that he had to vote out Dave.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, Carson is right in saying if he can find someone playing an emotional and less strategic game, you can use that to manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, who we were just talking about. And I do think there are a couple people on the starting tribe, you know, like when we were just talking about, who could fit that bill. Now, he went further and said, while he wants that in an ally, he himself is not like that at all. I am willing to do anything and work with anyone if it puts me in a better position to win this game. And he wants to target the other strategic players early, which will be hard because they're all going to be hiding that they're strategic. Now, from a social aspect, Carson thinks his experience in working with others, including those older than him, will help him. We've said before, when it comes to the younger players, that sometimes they don't have the greatest understanding of what that really means. I think it was it Swathi a couple seasons ago who said, people came to all my parties and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There were just certain things. It was like, yeah, that doesn't do it. Carson at least has more in the way of experience in working with older people.
Yes. His NASA related
job things
were very impressive. Yes.
So he recognizes he'll be among the youngest. You'll be the youngest. And wants to show the others he's more interested in learning about them than them listening to his stories. And that could help if things work out the way he wants. But he, you know, the problem is, again, he fits that super fan archetype. So that could work against him. He's going to have to just, you know, like you said, and like he said, just be flexible.
Yeah. I feel like Sammy came in with the same type of idea as well, being young, but he wanted to focus on the people around him. What can he learn from them and kind of be seen as a sponge? And maybe that will work for Carson, that he can present himself the same way, like teach me your ways. I need to learn. I'm so young. And maybe people will take him under their wing and want to do that. And who knows, maybe someone like Bruce will be like, I got you.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But yes, it'll be an interesting thing to watch Carson's game, because it could certainly crash and burn just because of that super duper uber fan.
Uber super duper fan.
I know, I have to get it right. Uber super duper, whatever it is. Yeah. but yeah, so it could certainly crash and burn for him, if that's the perception that people have immediately, and if that's what they kind of see through and realize, no, he is at home printing 3D Survivor puzzles and practicing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, being the uber super duper fan, I had a feeling that he would make us happy with his response to questions about searching for idols. And I was right. Mm-hmm. He knows to avoid doing that early, and specifically cited to Tori getting in trouble with her tribe for doing that on day one. He plans to focus instead on being in the majority of the group, never really leaving the camp, building the shelter, etc. So basically being someone Roxroy would have liked.
Yes.
Now, he did say later on he'd go idle hunting in the middle of the night. I think Carson may be underestimating just how fully dark it is out there.
Yeah, Carson. I know you know this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Past Carson. You're speaking to past Carson.
Past Carson. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much one of those, like, you get a warning from production. Like, the sun's going down. You better be in bed because you are not going to be able to find your way very well anywhere. So,
I mean,
future Survivor players, get ready.
Maybe he can make one of those little mini portable fires like Tony did.
Well, Tony did
that as a lantern.
Yeah. David did the same thing on my season when he was out, you know, painting coconuts to try
that's
to.
That's right.
Yeah, he built a little fire. Yeah, so it can certainly happen, but it is more difficult than I think people anticipate.
Yes. So overall, I'd say Carson has a lot of great ideas. I hope he does well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is saying, but he's so young. The other part of me is saying, yeah, but look at how well Sammy did last season.
Yeah.
But then that first part comes back and says, yeah, but Carson looks much younger.
Yes, he does.
So
yeah, he definitely does.
I just have to weigh those two sides.
Yeah. All right, we're moving on
to
Helen, who is, according to what I'm looking at, 29. Maybe she was 28 when she played. She is from Massachusetts, but currently lives in California. She is a product manager, which I think we'll be talking about how I love the description that she provides relative to her job and how it can help her in the game of Survivor. Okay. So we'll get back to that because I was a little head scratching product manager. What does that mean? But I love that the connection that she's made with the game. And she also,
my son has I've learned through my younger son more of what a product manager does.
Mm.
He is not one, but he works with some and has worked with some. So yes, I've learned a little bit more.
Yes. So I appreciate the connection that she made there. But what I can appreciate the most about Helen is the old school component that she brought back, talking about Tina and Sophie Clark.
Yes.
Thank you so much for bringing those names to the table. I know we've had someone else already speak of Sophie, but to bring Tina.
Tina is not one you hear very often.
Right? I was like, oh, girl, I'm so happy to hear that because Tina was someone who obviously, you know, we all know now, won way back when season two, but was someone that I think the whole world was like, what is happening? How is he taking her to the final two? Because she's just so likable. And so, yes, to see the Tina being brought up with just warmed my heart, for sure.
Yes, he got put into the reality TV Hall of Shame for that.
I know.
Just it was.
Here's someone everybody loves, and here's someone nobody really loves. And you're like, I'm going to take the one everybody loves because I'm going to be a good person. Yeah. And then she won $1 million.
Yes. And kept coming back, you know.
Yes, to the right. Show. So it's just one of those things. But
I mean, he did too. I mean, to be fair, he did too.
Listen, he's done great for himself. Certainly, you know, Cody has definitely gone on and done great things.
We should mention, you know, even though she's citing all these old school things, she's been watching for over a decade. So it's not like you watched it originally, but, you know, she's gone back and caught up and likes that old school flavor up.
Yeah. And I do like that she, even though she came into it late, she started watching when she was in college with her friends of hers, I guess, that got her interested. But she clearly went back and has watched and appreciates the game and has learned a lot about the game. And she mentioned Black Widow Brigade as well. So she's definitely gone back through and has watched, it appears, almost all of the seasons, considering she went all the way back to season two. Now, she does think that people are going to perceive her as, and we've mentioned this, friendly and bubbly. So here we are with that word again. And she also understands that when you are perceived that way, especially if you are a woman, that it can make people believe you are not very intelligent or that you are
not
less
strategic. Yeah.
But she wants to lean in on that as well. So this is why I do feel like she's someone who would probably look at a Carolyn and think, yes, you know, that's the type of relationship I want to look for, because she does not want to work with someone who is like herself. She wants to work with someone who kind of brings something opposite to the table. And we've seen a lot of these players up to this point, this yin and yang kind of idea where they don't want someone like them. They want someone who will bring something else and then they can work together and kind of bounce ideas off each other, but that they don't think exactly the same. So this is why I feel like she's probably going to be in a good place, because she wants to be perceived this way. And I think she has some options here of people that she can work with that will help her do that very well. And let's see what else we can really. So her job, which I thought was interesting when she talked about being a product manager, is that she basically isn't the idea person, but she has to sell other people's ideas, which I really thought was a great representation of how to be that background player in Survivor. You don't have to be the idea man, because you don't want to be the idea man. Because if you are, then all of a sudden you are labeled as, well, that person said your name and they want you to be voted out, or they want this to happen. You'd rather be the one in the background kind of pulling the strings. And that's what she's been doing in her job. She's the one that is selling the ideas of others. Mm-hmm. So I thought that that's a really interesting component of her background that would probably help her do very well in the game, because she's already accustomed to that. It's not something she has to teach herself. She's not an alpha, right? That has to be like, I gotta step down here. She already knows to do that. And I can appreciate that about her and the idea of how she wants to play this game. So I definitely like that a lot. And she, she's just kind of really good vibe. She doesn't want to quit. I really like listening to her speak. I was like, okay, like she sounds like someone who's kind of got it all put together, right? It's not, it's not overly like too in your face. I'm going to take control. She just seems very like even keel, centered, and understands the game and understands herself enough. And I don't think she's going to come in and be like flashy and get a lot of attention, but she understands the game so well that I do think that she's going to find herself in a good place to be that background player, to kind of control things in a way that will help her get further in the game without people realizing that she's continuing to do that. I think she also highlighted Erica as well, if I'm not wrong.
Yes. Now, another thing that she talked about doing in her real life was context switching, because she was in some very different groups, had to act differently in each one. And she also thinks that'll help in Survivor. And I agree that can definitely be a plus in working with different groups. She could be one thing to the younger players like Carson and Sarah, and another to Bruce, Carolyn, and Jam Jam. And she plans to make genuine one-on-one bonds, so people have a reason to keep her around. We've already discussed how the shorter game, you know, can hurt that type of plan.
Sure.
But once again, I really like her answer to what she wants in an ally, which included loyalty to me and only me.
Right.
I mean, hey, if you're looking for an ideal situation, that's the right thing to
say.
It's
definitely ideal. Yes.
You know, it's like if the genie gives you three wishes, you wish for what you want. You don't wish for what's realistic.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, you know, when you blow out the candle, don't just wish for $1 million.
You want it all.
But going into, you know, more into reality, she also said she'd like someone with whom she can have a strong strategic partnership while knowing that at some point one will turn on the other, with, of course, her wanting to be the one to make the first move. This is one place I wonder how it will all work with so many of them, as we've talked about, hiding their strategic side. How do any of them, not just Helen, form that kind of partnership if you're hiding that you're strategic?
Yeah.
So how, you know, everybody wants to say, well, I'm going to hide the fact that I'm strategic and just be friendly.
Right.
But I want a strategic ally.
Right.
How do you find a strategic ally if you're hiding the fact that you're strategic?
Yeah, well, because I really do think that's easier said than done. I think that a lot of people come into this game thinking, I can hide these parts of myself. As we already talked about with Carson, I think it's going to be hard for him to hide those parts of himself. I think it's going to be easy for someone like Helen to hide those parts of herself, just because of the way that you have presented yourself.
Then how did she get a strategic partner if she's hiding the fact that she's strategic?
Because you just look at Carson. Right? Like, she's going to be like, that guy's strategic. He's not going to be looking at me thinking I'm strategic. And I got Carolyn over here who's not going to be strategic because she's just going to put it all out there. Like, I feel like she's going to be able to hide much easier than someone like a Carson and someone like a Bruce who's like out there and just putting it all on. You know what? It's like, I feel like she's not that person. And this is why, like, the backgrounds that you have and where you come from really do have such a big impact on how you play Survivor, because this is how you are in real life. And you can only hide so much of yourself for so long, because there are things that are just going to come across that you cannot control. Yeah. And I see her as being someone who can be that under the radar, no one's going to see me come in, like we did with Erica, kind of gameplay. Whereas she's going to be able to look at the other people and go, yep, uh-huh, gotcha, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now, Helen managed to do something different with her answer to the question about looking for idols that made me laugh. Instead of my normal response, which is either to be happy or to be mad. she said that she has a really terrible sense of direction and is worried that she'll get lost if she leaves camp. So she doesn't even want to give the impression of looking for an idol early. So, you know, maybe she'll just sit at camp with Carson.
Yeah, they'll stay at camp together.
You know, look for the Roxroy of the tribe.
Right, exactly.
So, all right, we can move on to Sarah, who is a 27-year-old management consultant, originally from Minnesota and now in Chicago. Yay, Chicago!
Yay, Chicago!
And that's good, because we now have conservation of ex-Survivor players named Sarah in Chicago, because the Sarah from 41 moved out of Chicago.
Mm, okay.
At least I believe she did. All I know is I see her on a lot on TikTok doing like trapeze stuff now. So
the other Sarah.
The other Sarah, not this Sarah. But this Sarah, Jessica, she could be trouble. You know why?
Oh, I do know. Her pet peeves?
Yes. One of them is rule followers.
Right.
It's like she's personally attacking us.
It's offensive. Yeah, I knew that was coming. But then that is that she also doesn't like people that are inflexible. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yes.
You can't have it both ways.
Exactly. See, we have the same notes.
Right.
Yeah. You're literally against people who don't follow rule 3 while being against people who follow rules.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
No. Mm-mm. We got to talk, Sarah. You got to figure this out. We need a better balance.
Now, although she is only 27, she said she's been a fan since the very beginning. So she was young and she was watching. And
was looking through a hole as well.
She grew up looking up to women like Stephanie, Sri, and Parvati. Mm. So playing is a lifelong dream. Now, unlike the previous two players we just discussed, while Sarah said she thinks people will initially see her as a cute young gal, her words, not mine, they'll see her more as a strategic player. So it doesn't sound like she's going to be trying to hide it. But
this is
similar
good for Helen.
Yes, yes. Similar to the most recent two, she knows it's a game and about lying and deceiving people, and she is 100% there for it.
Yeah. I have some concerns for Sarah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to that. Before
develop
we get to
that
concern,
a little bit further.
Yeah. So, like Helen, Sarah wants to find an ally who she can strategize with so they can bounce ideas off of each other. But again, it'll be hard to do that with other people hiding that side. Although if she's not hiding that side, it'll be a little easier.
Yeah.
She wants to create a loyal duo. So that, of course, you know, means someone who won't flip on her first. Now, I'm a bit confused about her answer when it comes to idols and advantages. She notes that it's risk reward now, but she thinks she'll still be eager to look for them because the recent seasons have shown that advantages help. And she added, we've seen that just having an immunity idol has done for players in recent years. A lot of times people don't need to use the immunity idol to save themselves because they're more public. They're not even getting votes because they have them. I have to seriously question this. Because, I mean, it may be true in the very early game.
Mm-hmm.
But like on season 41, two of those holding an idol were targeted in large part because they were known to have an idol.
Yeah.
And one wasn't because nobody was worried about him.
Right. And now also this knowledge of power thing that they want to use so badly as well. Yeah.
And a big thing about Marianne winning 42 was that she was the only one who had an idol and didn't tell anyone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So while Sarah is right that idols and advantages can be tools to get you further in the game, I just hope she knows what she's getting into if she finds something.
Yeah. I do hope that she's able to kind of balance that as well. I like that she's also acknowledging the fact, though, that everything is temporary, which I do think a lot of Survivor players tend to forget, that there is this moment is what you're living right now, and then tomorrow could be a different day. And we talk about that a lot, kind of it's day by day by day. Sometimes the long-term planning is not the best thing to do. And so maybe she will have more of that mindset that I need to worry about right now as opposed to 3 days from now and then a week from now. And I appreciate that concept of her bringing that into the game very much.
Yeah. And that's especially important when you're dealing with, like, should I play an idol?
Yes.
There was just recently a situation on Australian Survivor where a player had an idol and decided not to play it because they were like, well, if I, you know, I've used this, I've shown it to people, and I'm using it as a bargaining tool to create an alliance. And if they don't vote with me now, well, then they're not going to vote with me in the future. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is if you don't play it now and you get voted out, you don't have a chance to recover.
Right. There's no later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you do play it now, anything could happen. There could be another swap. You could find another idol. There could be a twist. They could all start infighting because there were other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah, you got to remember that situation.
Yes. Everything really is temporary. And that in that moment when you're like ready to just like crawl in a hole and die because of something that happened and you're just not feeling great about your game, then the next day you find out you're being swapped. Great. That's exactly what I needed right now.
I was going to say, who could you be talking about?
Crazy how these things happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of everything is awesome, you should change the song to everything is temporary. So, yes. So I hope that that is something that she can continue to bring throughout her game. But I do feel like I have concerns for Sarah because she's, I have a hard time kind of putting my finger on it. But I think she's going to also have a hard time kind of, we'll use my term, keeping herself in the box, like Bruce, like we talked about with Bruce. Like, I feel like she's not going to be interested in kind of hiding her strategic side. She's going to be very, I think, interested in wanting to be seen a particular way because that's the way she's going to present. And she isn't going to acknowledge that that might be bad for her game long term. And I think with the people that are on her tribe with her, they are going to be very aware of that part of her. And someone like Carson, who has already acknowledged, I want the strategic players gone. Right. And you have someone like Helen, who is looking for those people who are strategic and also acknowledging, I don't want those people around either. I think that it might put her in a bad place just because she isn't going to keep that part of her in check. I think it's going to be a little more obvious of the type of game she wants to play, and not obvious in the way that like Caroline is going to be presenting herself, or Caroline, I don't want to be mispronouncing her name, that she isn't going to be presented as the strategic mind, you know, as opposed to Sarah, who I think will be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I have the same sorts of feelings. So we'll get into that later after perhaps our next player.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Oh, yes. So we're going to move on to Jam Jam.
Jam Jam.
All right. Let me move all my papers. So he is looking for a sidekick that wants to have fun, which I feel like the energy that he is exuding is fun. Mm-hmm. So yes. I can certainly see that being an easy sell for him. But he's also looking for someone with intelligence and commitment. So he is 36, according to what I'm looking at. He's actually from Puerto Rico. He's a salon owner, and he describes himself as fun, loud. We have another loud, but mm-hmm. not a little bit loud, just loud. So I appreciate the limitation to the three words there. That it was so fun, loud, and caring. So Cerie Fields was brought in to his answers as far as someone that he can identify with the most, and we all love Cerie. So I can definitely get behind that as well. And I felt myself in going through his answers that he is going to be a very social player. He's very cognizant of himself in that regard. He can see certain parts of himself that people, I think, will gravitate towards. And he's taking inspiration from Richard Hatch, which I also can, this old school, I was like, yes thank you. That the story that he tells about watching the first season in his new home with his family, eating pizza on the floor and seeing Richard Hatch sitting in the tree, as you've already referenced, and just talking about having that $1 million check with his name on it. And that's where he's going to bring himself back to when he's out there. Like that little boy sitting in that room in that moment. And I love that for him because that is true inspiration, because that was the first season when all of this started. We've already talked about it and how it kind of set the bar, and to bring yourself back to that moment for him. I just think that that's such a great story. I definitely loved hearing that.
Yeah. And you know, just the fact that he has been watching since then, you know, when he was 13. And yeah, he's been one of the main faces of this season already on the promos because of his sheer exuberance. And, you know, obviously, I think we expect him to be a ton of fun on the show.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting, you already mentioned Cerie. And what you didn't get out of what we saw in the promos is he said, I love strategy. I love manipulation. I love social aspects of life, meeting people and using that as an advantage and using people for you or using other people against you.
Yes.
And he said, I feel like I've manipulated people in my daily life. I know it's a little bit of that, but I don't do it because I'm an evil person. I just do it so people find me cute.
I love him. It's so good. It's so good. And I also think we need to like take that another like a step further too, because he says, I feel like people connect better with people that need help than with people who come out as strong. So he's also like this nice little mix, because he's going to be going into this game knowing all of those parts of himself, right? That he can be devious and he can be conniving, but he's also fun loving. And so he wants to be that, almost like I thought of Dave for my season, right? Like the one you need to help, the one that that comes in is like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Can somebody help me? I'm not sure how to do this. And I think he could pull that off. And I think that would definitely work very well for him, because I mean, I've talked about Dave being a Kaiser Sosai since the beginning. I'm like, he came in this scared little bird and everyone was like, oh, poor Dave, we have to help Dave. And then Dave just like owned it, right? Just all the way to the end of the game.
And speaking of Dave, you know, just after we had Ken pop up on our Instagram live, Dave and Ken are hanging out. I saw that on social media.
Yeah, too. I actually just talked to Ken yesterday.
Oh,
and yeah, that was one of the things that he had referenced. Well, my grandmother's birthday is today, and my grandmother is a huge, huge fan of Ken. So I was like, Ken, you might need to do something for my grandmother just because. Ah,
yes, like your own little cameo there going on.
Yes, exactly. Because she is just very, very much a fan of Ken. So I appreciated his willingness to do that.
Yeah. And by the way, I know this is kind of buried in here in amongst talking about Jam Jam, but anybody who missed that Instagram live, you can still see it on the RHAP Rapgrams account. It's still there. So he pops up a little ways into it, surprising all of us. So
yeah, that was a nice surprise. And he appreciated us giving him an opportunity to do that. And it was a great surprise for sure. So, so he was talking about Dave and how they were getting together. So I do think that Jam Jam is someone who is going to connect very well with like a Carolyn, right? Mm-hmm. Because fun loving, energetic, wanting to have a good time. And so I see him being in a good place in this group just because he's not going to come across as threatening and he's going to come across as someone who's likable. And one thing that we've talked about a lot is when it comes down to it, when someone has to make a decision between two people, sometimes it's, well, who do I like more? Who do I feel better about just hanging around at camp with? Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's going to bring that energy and he's going to be someone who is just likable and can maybe even bring a little bit of Omer into the game, right? Where like you just like the guy and then you kind of don't realize what he's doing when it comes to the game itself.
Exactly. You know, it sounds like he's coming to play. He talked about how much he likes Sandra, how hardcore she is with the way she played and how she was able to separate her emotions, you know, rule four. Mm-hmm. Despite how excitable he has seemed in the promos so far, he said he thinks he'll be able to make the tough decisions by taking those emotions out. And, you know, he feels like, people will think he's happy-go-lucky and not taking things seriously. And I know we've already talked about that. We've heard that a lot. I think if anyone can pull it off best, it's going to be Jam Jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree.
You know, and he has his serious side in his own background. You know, he talked about having no power at work or home for 90 days after Hurricane Maria. Mm-hmm. How he had to lead his team at work of mostly people who are older than him. And I just think that speaks well to how he'll be able to get along with people, even aside from his humor.
Yes. Yeah. And I do love what his brother told him before he went out there, that they picked you because of who you are. You are who you want to be, and you're just enough as it is. Be yourself out there, and it's mm-hmm. going to be great. Yeah. And I think that Jam Jam is one of those people that we rarely see where I think he truly can go out there and be his authentic self, mm-hmm. but still also be able to hide components of himself because he's going to be able to find that balance. There's very few players that kind of present themselves this way where they have to work so hard to hide that part. And that's why I thought of Omer, because it was impressive that he was able to do that because we don't see that so often. And I feel like he is someone who is going to be able to emulate that and someone who will come across as very likable but still be playing a game that is going to impress everyone mm-hmm. and surprise everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the one possible downside came in his answer that has tripped up so many players this season, which is idols. At least he made it funny because he said, I'm going to be looking at every branch, every rock, every single bamboo stick, every single fish. I'm going to look in the guts. So Survivor producers, there's a new idea. Get a fish in the ocean to swallow an idol.
Oh my gosh!
And then see if anyone in the game catches that particular fish.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So just remember, if it shows up, I kind of stole the idea from Jam Jam, but you know, now he also came up with another new idea in talking about hidden advantages, because he said hidden advantages and immunity idols and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, I'm not sure how good a PB&J would be after sitting in a tree root for a few days. Mm. But maybe
I think it'd be delicious considering.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe Jeff can workshop the idea and start hiding food as well as beware advantages.
You know, I think that's a great idea. I really think that that's a great idea because there is one thing to be said about a player who hides food that is for the tribe. mm-hmm. and how that infuriates everybody, but people want to do it because selfishly mm-hmm. you want to be able to eat. So that I could get behind if they just started taking food, granola bars, peanut butter and jelly, whatever, and just tucking it in places. So
I mean, you know, Australian Survivor has had players come upon a jar, a cookie jar or something
yes.
like that.
Oh, yes. And there were the candy, too. You know? Wasn't there
yes.
like a jar
yes.
of candy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but if it's just enough for yourself, like you're walking along and instead of a beware advantage, it's a sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, just make sure it's not like a ham sandwich that's sitting out there because that would be a beware on its own yes. if it spoils. But yeah, you know, hide a PB&J in the jungle. Yeah, and see what happens.
I could certainly support that. I think that would be great. And just make sure you have to clean your face off because you don't want to run into an issue with like Drea where she had like the paint on her arm still and got busted.
Or you have peanut butter breath or something like that, you know. Like,
yeah, just be prepared for that. You come back with a smear of peanut butter on your cheek, people are going to wonder.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you're not used to having a beard, you know, and it gets stuck in your beard or something.
Yeah,
like
Jam Jam might have a problem with that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. All right, did you have anything more on him?
No, I think that, I don't know. I think he's going to be in a good place. I like
it. Okay, so to wrap up this tribe, no offense to any of the other players, but this tribe seems to have the potential to be the most fun as an overall group.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree.
You know, mm-hmm. maybe the others will prove me wrong. Who knows? But well, like we've talked about, we're seeing a lot of people both here and in some of the other tribes saying they want to be seen as just friendly and happy and bubbly while hiding their strategic side.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be the puppeteer behind the scenes, but not let anyone know their threat. But again, the interesting thing to me will be how long they all continue their charade.
Right.
If they start talking to each other and if they start seeing through each other, like, hey, they're doing the same thing I was going to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's, in the meantime, Carolyn being totally who she is and they probably won't believe her.
Yeah.
Because it'll be interesting because like last season you had Owen. Stuck on a tribe full of people who didn't want to actually strategize. And he's trying. Now, in this season, if like someone wants to strategize, is someone going to pretend not to? Or are they going to kind of pull down the veil and say, oh, okay, with this person, I can show what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. No, it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, I said a minute ago that this tribe has, as a group, you know, seems to be the most fun. But it's also, to me, the hardest one to predict. Like, I could easily see Carolyn and Carson and Helen and Jam Jam getting together and just being a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Bruce or Sarah. Just from what I'm seeing and my small impressions,
yeah,
they don't seem to quite fit in that group.
Yes.
I guess that means I'll have to predict one of those two as being the first out. I hate to say it, particularly in this group of gamers, but a big part of me thinks Bruce will be kept around for challenge strength.
Yeah, I'm with you on that assessment as far as the two individuals that are likely to be in trouble, that it, you know, is Bruce and Sarah, just because mm-hmm. I do feel like they are going to have the most difficult ability to mesh right. with the other four. And I do think that there will be components of each of them that will potentially either make people nervous or rub people the wrong way. I think Sarah is probably in a very difficult spot because mm-hmm. of the strategic component. I think someone like Bruce, even though he might come across as, he said, arrogant mm-hmm. and maybe a little more controlling, I think that they'll be willing to work with that because they're going to be more concerned. Like, I think Helen and Carson right. will be looking at Sarah and thinking, she's a strategist and she's not meshing. We got to watch out for her. And so
he's the Tory. I mean, the thing
exactly.
is, Tory really ruined it for women about her age, you know, by being able to, you know, really be strategic and get other people out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was what they saw. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we don't want a Tory here. Let's get rid of Sarah.
Yeah. And so I'm fearful for her in this. Yeah. In this.
So
instance.
Is that, are you also predicting her first out of this tribe?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I'm even more torn in my prediction of who will do best out of this tribe. Mm. And in part that's because whoever does best from Tika will, I believe, win the whole game.
Oh, oh my God. You and I are like on the same page entirely. Okay.
So I'm rooting for so many of them. I'm wondering if you're going to have the same winner pick as me again. Well,
okay, wait.
We
all right. I'm going to do this right. Oh, we didn't show pictures of people this time. Oh, I'm so sorry. I have my cheat sheet here with all the photos. You know,
a little late now, but
too late now.
Sorry.
I'm going to write down right here. All right. So there's nothing. I'm going to write it down. Who my winner pick is going to be.
Okay. So first I want to say I'm rooting for so many of them. I want Carson, the uber super duper fan, to prove that a 20-year-old can win.
Right.
I just don't think it can happen. I suppose he can take that as a positive because I won't be retroactively cursing him.
Mm-hmm.
I want Carolyn to do well, but like she said, she won't be very many people's winner pick. And
Right. Well,
I already said I was going to join that crowd. So. One thing that keeps pulling at me is just how much of a character Jam Jam is, but also how he surprised me by talking about how much strategy is underneath. And I went back and forth on this. And, you know, we even had to delay this podcast a little bit due to circumstances we couldn't control. And so I thought about it some more. But I'm going to say Jam Jam makes it the furthest in this tribe.
Look at you. Is he your winner pick too?
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, okay. All right. So curious.
Who are you saying for this tribe?
Well, I think for this tribe, I think to go the furthest, I think it's going to be, my computer just had something pop up. I apologize.
Oh.
I do think that Jam Jam is going to go exceptionally far. I also think Helen is going to go exceptionally far. So I'm like, those two are kind of like neck and neck as far as I'm concerned with how well they're going to do for like totally different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think that they're going to be playing much different games, but the two of them truly are like neck and neck. So I'm picking both of them as going very far.
No, you can't pick both of them. It is a pick one situation.
All right, Helen.
Okay. Now for the
peer
overall.
Pressure.
Yes. For the overall. So I just picked Jam Jam, as you know, as a reminder, I chose Jamie from Ratu and Claire from Sokka as doing the best from each of their tribes.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to note that Jeff talking about what a fun season this is makes me think it has a super fun winner because that's just the way he rolls. But then I realized all three of them fit the bill for that description. So that's not really helpful. I just keep getting drawn back to the reason that I picked Jam Jam as the going the longest for this tribe. And as I said earlier, I believe the winner will come from Tika. Some people are going to call me crazy. I'm predicting Jam Jam is the winner.
I don't think that's a crazy choice. It is not my choice, but I agree that the winner is going to come from Tika. And I think that part of the reason why the winner is going to come from Tika is because of Jam Jam, because he is going to help further along the game of the person who I believe is going to end up winning. And I do think that the idea of this being a fun season can be related back to someone who might be a non-winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's someone who has made the game that much more entertaining, like a Caroline or Carolyn probably will do as well. So I do think that Tika is probably going to help drive this season as far as entertainment value is concerned. And I think that that is going to help the person that I think is the winner, which I wrote down here, is going to be Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Helen is my choice. I just feel like she's got such a good balance of the game, but also she's literally been put on the perfect tribe, I think, for the type of game that she wants to play. And I just feel like she's going to be able to maneuver her way through. And I'm very excited about her. I'm excited about the entire season, but I just kept coming back to Helen and all of the information that we've looked at. And Jam Jam, I'm telling you, he's up there too. He and Claire are both up there as people that I thought were potentially going to win this season. But I feel like he is going to end up finally like an Omer, where someone's going to go, oh, wait a second, this guy's still here. He's going to win the whole thing. And then there will be this, we have to get him out of the game kind of idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, we didn't pick the same person.
But, we did not.
Pick them to work together.
And you know what? I hope we didn't just mess it up for both of them.
Yeah, I know, really. we will be back in a little less than a week, probably next Saturday morning, with the first Why Blank Lost, covering whoever is voted out in the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, I bet people can find us in other places.
I bet you they can. Like maybe my Twitter, which is at Jessica Lewis from this way, 89. Mm-hmm. They can certainly find me there. I'm also on Instagram at Jessica Lewis 6789, but I'm more on Twitter than anything. However, the gentleman sitting right next to me happens to be on so many social media platforms that he has to have a special page just listing out all of the locations that you can find the great work that he posts. So, David?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, there's the page.
We have to work on that transition.
Yes, we do. That is my link tree, which you can find at linktree.com/David Bloomberg, except there's a dot before the EE. So linktr.ee/David Bloomberg. Don't know why they did it that way. And you can see that on the screen now. You can find me on Twitter at David Bloomberg. Other than that, you can find me most other place, any place that video is, you can find at David Bloomberg TV. And that is TikTok. You can find me at Instagram. You can find me at YouTube.
You're and everywhere. So,
those three, the video places, yes. And so, you know, I do the mini Why Blank Losts for Australian Survivor. I am doing videos for various other shows. Just had the Tough as Nails finale and some other shows. And of course, obviously there will be US Survivor ones there as well.
There'll be so much.
Yes.
Now you're doing something I've noticed on TikTok, which is almost like Be Real, but it seems to be on TikTok.
Yeah, there are TikTok nows. And it's a copy of Be Real, and they just, it pops up and says, do it now. And I don't really understand the point of it. But I do it. And it's just one of those things, peer pressure. I don't know.
Listen, I will say, David Bloomberg, I'm very proud of you because when we started this trip that we are now on so many years back, you were very much opposed to video, social media. And now you are like fully in, invested, everything you can imagine, David Bloomberg is himself into. So I'm very proud of you, David.
Aw, thank you. And you were definitely the one who pushed for video. And of course, the pandemic, you know, I had heard from people. They wanted to see more. They weren't just, people weren't going to their jobs as much. So they weren't listening in the car.
Right.
They wanted to see video. So yeah, lucky.
Here we are.
Them, they get to see my face. Yay.
But I love that you've just completely jumped in, like, with everything. So I think it's great.
Well, thank you. In addition to that, I mentioned before I've become a regular guest on the Truth Unrestricted podcast, where I'm about every third episode. Also mentioned previously, this is not an entertainment podcast. It has discussions of various more serious, usually, topics. There are some times that there's overlap, like when we had an episode on perception. And the next one that I'll be on, which should be out shortly, will appropriately be about rules.
There you go.
So you can hear me talk not just about my survivor rules. We start with that, but we move into my own 30 plus years of experience working on rules in a regulatory agency and writing and interpreting. And so that, like I said, that will be out soon.
Sarah Wade, you should probably listen to that.
So before we finish up here, let me remind everyone that the rules that we just discussed are available. First of all, you can go to our page, robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. You can click on, you know, what as of this moment says Survivor 43 rules, but they are 44. That'll be updated as the rules themselves have been. Scroll down a little bit and you can get the rules poster itself. Scroll down a little bit more, you get it on a t-shirt. Scroll down a little bit more, you get the checklist t-shirt. I also encourage, you can either on here, if you keep scrolling, you know, there's, you can join RHAP as a patron, or you can go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. And, you know, that gets you access to all of the special podcasts that will be coming up in the Survivor season. And the Facebook groups, Discord, all those different things. Also, make sure you're subscribed to all the reality TV Rehap Up podcasts by going to robhasawebsite.com/rehapupsfeed. Select your podcast service of choice, and you get, you know, all these Survivor podcasts like the B&B, the Stock Watch, Survivor International, us, obviously. Podcasts on a number of other shows and topics, from other reality TV to wrestling to crime shows to, I mentioned Matt Scott's Pod Friends, you know, and so all sorts of stuff you can find on the Rehap Ups.
There's so many things on Rehap Ups. Yes. So we should thank Scott, who does so much work on Rehap Ups, right? He does all of the editing, not only for Why Blank Lost, but also all of those things that you were just discussing. So thank you, Scott, for all of the incredible work that you do. And thank you to Will from America for the theme song that he created for Why Blank Lost. We love it. It's very catchy. So thank you for that. And David, thank you for maybe potentially destroying a couple of people's games with that.
Oh, no.
I hope we didn't. I really hope we didn't, but this has been quite the journey that we've taken with this whole cast of season 44. And I just do want to say that I realize that to all of the players from this season, you have been spoken about. You will continue to be spoken about. And cool. I know that that's hard because I've experienced it as well. But I still truly am impressed by each and every one of you and your willingness to put yourself out there into the universe in the way that you did. For people like us to talk about you and also to entertain us as well. So looking forward to everything that you're going to be bringing to the screen. And thank you so much for allowing us to have this ability to enjoy your presence on the screen.
Yes. Yes. And thank you once again, Jessica. I hope you, you know, extend your birthday celebration into the weekend here.
Yes, I fully intend to. My daughter surprised me and came home, which was lovely. So we will be having a nice evening with her. So thanks for that.
Your daughter, who you're only 11 years older than, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I should, probably shouldn't start spreading that rumor. But yes. So thank you for that. I appreciate the birthday wishes.
All right. Well, with that, we will see everyone, like I said, in less than a week. Watch for us right here. And, you know, we're going to have a fun first episode, I think.
Yes. See you soon.
Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.